Welcome to the original Freemasons podcast, broadcasting from Waterbury, Connecticut, USA. Follow us on your favorite podcast app or join us live on YouTube. And as always, leave your aprons at the door, my brothers. A hungry heart keeps me going strong. It gives me strength when things are going all wrong. All my life, I've been searching for the sun. Now I can see.
Change the input,
or
touch the input.
Is there now there's sound, as you can see. Yeah, I mean, look at the screen.
Start this whole goddamn thing over.
I probably should have looked at the screen when I swapped over. But also, we didn't do a sound check because decided to, you know, kind of jump the gun a little bit and like, oh, okay, we're putting it on the starting soon screen. I'm like, all right, well, we can't do a sound check now because it's muted. During
he's a cranky bitch today, huh?
Now I'm cranky.
I think he's just sick of your shit.
Because that was a great intro we just did, and nobody heard any
of it.
Well,
we can redo it again.
We got to start from square one.
So here's a quick recap of what happened. George started the show with the introduction. It was lackluster at best.
Oh, come on.
So I told George started.
Okay.
Did I say Ken? I meant George.
No, you said George.
George started. It was very lackluster, so we made him take it from the top. He didn't want to do it, so Ken then came through and delivered on an awesome introduction. Cool. And then we got into a little bit of an argument. There were some Hogwarts house names mentioned, and then here we are.
All right.
So we'll try to recreate as much of that as possible.
Yeah. Go over to YouTube, see if there's sound.
Well, I assure you there is. We have
sound
now.
Yes. All right.
No, we do.
I know what Go I'm ahead, about. Ken. Start the intro again.
Me.
Hello, and welcome to the Freemasons Podcast with your host, Worshipful Brother Ken Tarwin.
Worshipful Brother Joe.
Right, Worshipful Brother George. This is already starting off like a shit show.
We're up here this morning on a beautiful Sunday morning, fall morning in Waterbury, Connecticut, on a very busy Masonic day, and we'll get into why it's going to be a busy Masonic day, but we're up here this morning talking about everybody's favorite wizarding world. And what would happen if Freemasonry taught magic?
Yes, so I got yelled at.
Gryffindor!
Slytherin!
So this is what you guys missed. This is what he was doing the entire time I was trying to talk.
Hufflepuff!
It's still funny the second time.
God.
I don't care.
It is still funny the second time, so... We're going to be the...
Ravenclaw!
He's got one more, so...
I got a cramp now.
I don't even want to start it.
No, it's
I know
okay.
At some point...
Ken said it, so I won't say it again.
Nah, funny you say it. Huh? Ken's kind of cranky, SpongeBob cranky pants this morning.
Yeah,
so.
I am a little bit.
No, go ahead. You can start.
All right.
Are you sure?
Yeah. All right. So we're going
to
be...
Slytherin! I had to get you.
So perfection. We're going to be discussing the world of Harry Potter, an alternate universe where Freemasonry actually teaches magic, and Hogwarts is actually a Masonic lodge. Mm-hmm. So, as we were saying before, we thoroughly enjoy these episodes because it requires zero brain effort. I don't have to read anything and screw up words, and I don't have to do any research or pronounce names. So,
did you read the series?
I've watched all the movies.
You watched the movies.
I don't read. I don't read.
Okay. It's not his fault. He can't read. That actually sounded like it came from a soundboard.
Yeah, it did actually.
We need one of those.
It's like he threw his voice or something.
So, so we're going to start from the top. How does this even start? Like, how do we... Are we three going to be like going through the Hogwarts schools that we're going to walk people through if we meet us three? where, I mean, I'll...
We could go with, like, know, who...
Well, let's ask the listeners. Who would I be in the Harry Potter world? Which student would I be?
You wouldn't be the student.
I know who you'd be.
You'd be Dobby, because he walks around with a freaking sock all day. Yeah. Just like you're in your real life.
Worshipful Brother Jed said, can it be beautiful in Waterbury? It's an excellent question.
Please, Dobby needs a sock.
Fair enough. It's actually a nice day out.
Yeah, it's
chilled to the air.
In the fall, I think Waterbury can be beautiful. You know, the leaves are changing and everything. We have four seasons here outside of that. Outside of that. I can't think of a time when it was
beautiful. Let's go down the list of what Harry Potter character we would be going through this school.
Well, Joe already kind of did an initial photoshopping of all of us, which came out really well. Much better than yours, might I add.
Well, let's put it to the comments section. Let's see who would be what.
I know they're going to come after me for Ron Weasley.
You're a Weasley.
No, I'm not. I like to think of myself as one of the professors.
Professors?
Jed said Crab. I'm not sure which one of us would be Crab. Goyle?
Goyle. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so we get to the school, right?
Yeah.
What house would we each be?
This isn't the alternate universe. This is just like...
Well, we're going to start off with this.
I like where this is going.
What's that?
I like where this is going.
Yeah, we're
going to
start off with this,
be?
Just like where we each picture each other in which houses. And people can write in the comments if they have a thing. But Ken, what house do you think you'd be?
I would be probably Ravenclaw.
You'd be a Ravenclaw.
Yeah.
Why Ravenclaw?
Because, you know, it's like where all the intellectuals end up. And I don't really consider myself, you know, I don't see myself in that way. I see myself as more of a, you know, I don't know, like a Freemason, right?
Okay.
Right. Which you would think would be a Gryffindor kind of series of values, right? Like looking out for the other, you know, looking out for the greater good, do unto others, all that kind of stuff. But, like, all the nerds end up in Ravenclaw, you know what I mean? Like, all the kids that look like librarians when they're, like, 8 years old, they're going to Ravenclaw. So I figure, like, that's, you know, like, I grew up that way, so that's probably where I would end up, yeah.
Where do you think Joe would end up?
I envision myself, though. Joe, I think, would be, I don't know. That's a tough one.
It is a tough one.
Where do you think I would end up?
What's the deal with Hufflepuff? Like, what's their values?
Just the name of it always sounds like it's a bunch of fat kids, right?
Oh, so that's why you're putting me
in? I didn't say that. That's exactly what you said. I didn't say that.
That's what you said.
I don't remember what the description of that particular
hardworking
house is.
Hufflepuffs value hard work and know that it can help them achieve things that natural abilities can't. They're not afraid to try new things and work hard to improve their skills. They're known for being loyal, kind, patient. Strong sense of justice and fairness.
Yeah, that sounds like Joe.
All right.
What's Gryffindor then?
Gryffindor!
They're like the brave, you know.
True of heart, courageous. Yep. Let's see.
All right.
I'll get you there.
So what do you got, Ken? What do you think he'd be?
You know, he's starting to sound like a Hufflepuff, I think.
He's starting to sound like a Hufflepuff. Yeah.
Gryffindor is bravery, adventurous, competitive, ambitious, stubborn.
I mean, we all have certain aspects of each of those, I think. But, yeah, I think he's leaning toward...
Where do you picture me?
Oh, you're Slytherin.
Yeah, you're Slytherin 100%.
You're Slytherin 100%.
You're an agent of chaos, dude. Yeah. That's the most obvious choice.
Slytherin. Ambition, resourcefulness, cunning, self-preservation, loyal, pride, respect, perfection, bravery, and unrequited love.
Unrequited love?
Yeah.
I don't know if that sounds like George, but...
Well...
He loves all of us, and we hate him.
You're right.
That counts, right?
Snake, huh?
I think when it comes to the podcast community, there's a lot of unrequited love for George.
Don't you have a snake tattoo somewhere on your body? You don't have the join or die thing somewhere? Well, there you go.
There you go.
Slytherin.
You're Slytherin.
100%. It's like
why don't you
want to
be Slytherin?
I don't know.
It's not
Slytherin's
a bad house.
Douchebags.
Just like they say in the series, it's not a bad house, except all of the bad people happen to be in that house.
So I'm going to pull up Ravenclaw traits because we hadn't... at Ravenclaws, this is Ken.
Uber
academically
nerds.
Motivated.
Yeah. Okay.
Original. Think outside the box. Love the process of learning. Empathetic. unabashedly themselves. That's totally you.
That sounds like me, yeah. I don't apologize
for
who
Joe, where do you picture yourself?
George put me with the fat kids.
I didn't do... Oh, my God. I didn't even freaking get to go yet.
Huffy Puff.
I'm fine with myself in Hufflepuff. I'm reading through the traits.
All right.
No, we can't all be Harry Potter.
Identify more with Ravenclaw. Yeah,
clearly, you both picked me as Slytherin. All right, so...
Gryffindor are like the jocks.
Exactly. We're all in Gen Pop.
Yeah. All right, so me, I would have to say I probably agree with the Ravenclaw thing for Kenny. But Joe, I don't know. He's like the Harry Potter.
He's a blender.
Where he could
kind of
be
them,
Gryffindor or Slytherin.
Yeah.
That's my opinion because...
I've been known to go both ways.
Joe is...
We're going to have to get that hat and put it on his head. And it's
we're
going
to have to get that hat.
Yeah.
Because honest to God, like Joe can go either way. Like where it's... I could see Joe being Harry Potter and saying, please say Gryffindor.
Yeah.
Because Joe, not that, again.
The clincher is the red hair. They're going to be like, all right, he's a ginger. Put him in Gryffindor.
No,
that was
might
a
be.
Shot from him, not me.
That's okay. There's going to be multiple
it's not
shots.
A shot. It's just an observation. I'm unabashedly myself.
Joe,
unabashedly.
We've had this conversation with Joe before just about our conduct. Joe has said point blank, he's like, nice, I'm kind, but if you fucking come for me.
Oh, yeah, he'll.
You don't have to come for me, I'm going to send for you.
The nice guys are always the ones that when you push them over the edge, they go completely, like, look at.
So that's why.
Look at Killdozer.
Killdozer, you know?
Yeah.
That guy was, he was a pretty
even
keeled guy. Can't believe that, you know, he's such a good neighbor, can't believe he did that. Well, you know, you push him too far.
I think Joe would be probably Gryffindor. Bravery, cunning, what? Ooh.
I'm a cunning linguist.
Yeah. I mean, your Photoshop job did put the Gryffindor colors, like the scarf on him. So.
I picked him as Gryffindor. Yeah. And one of the other things, stubborn. I think Joe's
I don't know that I'm that stubborn.
In some ways.
At some point, the wife will chime in the comments.
Could you check your shoes? I smell bullshit.
Just wait for Susan to chime in the comments. That's all.
I think you're stubborn as fuck.
But Hufflepuff's animal is a badger, which I like. Cause
badgers are cool.
Honey badger.
Ravenclaw's the bird, right?
Yes.
Ravenclaw's the bird. Like,
that one's...
Gryffindor's a lion, and Slytherin is obviously the snake.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it looks like... I can't read his name, but one of these commenters here is saying, good morning, brothers, from Round Hill Lodge number 533, Endicott, New York.
Yep. Good morning.
Morning, brother.
Good morning.
And Worship Brother Jed says George is Durmstrang.
Who the hell's that?
Durmstrang is like the German, you know, like the German school comes and visits, and then like the French school comes and visits. Yeah, the Germans were Durmstrang or whatever. So,
so
that sounds about right. He's got the same haircut as all the Germans in that.
What do you mean? I have the same haircut.
I know they're all like high and tight and stuff, and all regimented. And yeah, that's you. All right, good call.
All right. So, professors. Let's choose each other's professors. Who would be the professors?
Bruce Belmore.
Our
Dumbledore.
Professors. Oh,
Bruce
100%.
Bruce Belmore is Dumbledore, without a doubt. Absolutely. Hands down.
All right.
Hands down.
What would Kenny be if he's an instructor?
Oh, if he were an instructor?
I know you fuckers are going to pick me, but.
Hagrid? No. Hagrid teaches like all these biological things and like plant science type junk, agriculture. I would never be good at that.
All right.
Ken would be potions. He'd be like potions. Snape.
Yeah, he'd be
but we all know it's the dark arts he fancies.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that sounds
like,
about
you could
right.
be like a potion guy.
Yeah. That's like the technical aspect of
like a
magic,
chemist.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I could go with that.
Like that to me is like more the science based part of magic. Mix this potion here.
What about you, Joe?
We'll make George grow a foot.
Yep.
Christ, I knew that was
potions master. I like that. I like that.
I would. I do actually fancy the dark arts and would like to.
So you to
teach
Snape.
That? Yeah. Well, no. Snape did potions.
Oh, okay.
Defense against the dark arts, or like you're gonna.
Yes, defense against the dark arts.
Okay. And then Mr. Mudry. It's a tough one.
Here we go.
Is he like the gardener that grows like the freaking little screaming mandrake plants?
He's
I could see that Professor Sprout over here.
He's Professor Quirrell from the first one.
Oh,
Who was
with a head on the back of his neck.
Yeah,
there.
The one who Voldemort got into his head and was like, and he wore
saying
the
he's
turban.
Weak-minded?
No.
No, I'm just saying that there might have been a podcast Jesus listener Christ. That we call Voldemort that got into his head.
Oh,
lived
wow.
in your head rent-free. God.
That's deep.
None of
like
you bastards
that.
Are writing my eulogy. I'll tell you that right now.
What do you
now.
Mean? Holy fuck. We're not going to die. We're magic.
All right, so let's get into the aspects of this. So Freemasonry, how could it happen? Could it actually happen in this alternate
like every
universe?
Masonic lodge, as part of its teachings, instead of them being purely symbolic, also teach practical magic, maybe. How about that?
Okay.
Does that sound...
And it really isn't that far of a stretch if you go back to, say, like the building of King Solomon's Temple. You know, there is... on the esoteric side of things, him using magic and manipulation of spirits
yeah.
and individuals.
He control demons with his rings.
Yep. So there is that mm-hmm. aspect.
There is
if
that
you,
aspect.
It just think of, you know, that's the branch that it went down.
Okay.
More.
So we're going to take that golden thread and yes. follow it down to its logical conclusion in modern day where we all zap each other with wands for fun.
Yeah. And there's some alchemy involved.
Yeah.
Where if you go into, is it Nicholas Flamel?
Yep.
An
actual
Potter,
alchemist.
An actual person, an actual alchemist that was searching for the Philosopher's Stone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you even take, you know, just to tie together some of the strings here, when you look at our Chamber of Reflection,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you have vitriol, which is the Philosopher's Stone.
Talks in particular about the... Philosopher's Stone.
Which originally Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone in England was the Philosopher's Stone.
Mm-hmm.
They changed the name of it because they didn't feel like Philosopher's Stone would sell in America. So they thought Sorcerer's Stone was a little sexier, but they are referring to the Philosopher's Stone, which if you look at vitriol in the Chamber of Reflection, it
exactly
in essence is the recipe
about.
To the Philosopher's Stone.
Yep.
Visiting right. the interior.
Interesting
of the
that
earth.
He's the only non-fictional character in the entire
yeah.
book series.
And I wonder why that is.
Flamel. Interesting.
Well, just a little tidbit of fun information.
Uh-oh, George.
The symbol of death of the Deathly Hallows in the Harry Potter series is influenced by Masonic symbolism.
It's very similar
yeah,
to
it
the
looks,
symbol of
no,
the
it actually
stone.
Was. And it says here, the symbolism, the symbol of the Deathly Hallows is a triangle with a circle and a vertical line inside, representing the Elder Wand, the Resurrection Stone, which I find interesting because we have this Philosopher's Stone, and the Invisibility Cloak. J.K. Rowling was inspired by a Masonic symbol in the movie The Man Who Would Be King.
Yep.
Oh,
she noticed a similarity favorites. Between the symbol in the movie and the sign of the Deathly Hallows years later.
Yeah, it's the yeah. triangle, with then the square inside the triangle, then the circle with, inside the square, which is the
That's what he had
symbol.
On his pendant or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the symbol for the Philosopher's Stone, and it symbolizes an alchemy transmutation.
Okay.
The connection, Rowling said that she felt a connection between the two symbols on a subconscious level. She also said that Harry Potter series is about loss and that she believes the stories would be different if her mother hadn't died. The Eye of Providence is another symbol associated with Freemasonry, is similarly in appearance to the sign of the Deathly Hallows.
Yeah,
the Eye
that.
Of Providence is an eye set within a triangle and is often seen on the reverse side of the Great Seal of the United States.
Yep.
Interesting.
Okay.
So
there are some
tenuous of
Freemasonry
in
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So all right, so I mean, I guess you have to like dive into the question of like where did the money come from in order to in Harry Potter's world, I mean, you could probably build the whole freaking castle off of magic, right?
Yeah, but they use gold as like the standard of
currency,
standard
so,
economic
I mean,
unit.
If
think,
we're drawing
so.
A similarity, I mean, masonry has
the Templar gold.
Oh yeah, somewhere.
Money, you know what I mean? So it's not unfathomable to believe that, you know, a magic school in this alternate universe could be created by Freemasons. And you know, if you look at the way that Harry Potter went through, you know, his schooling, I mean, each step of the way was kind of like a quote-unquote degree. I mean, I guess you could say there were, what, 7 years of Hogwarts, right? Was it 7 years?
Yeah, and they're, like the characters, the main characters go through a progression where it's like youth,
right?
right? Where they don't know really anything except for Hermione, who knows fucking everything. But like they're kind of like growing in the same way that an entered apprentice would. And then there's like that kind of interstitial period where there's like some really adult stuff going on in the background, but the professors are kind of mostly handling that, and they're just kind of on their own little small character building type adventures. And then they come out as teenagers, which would be your adulthood, your master mason, where some of them are dying and being reborn, and those kinds of things are happening. But they're really the ones that are defending the world at that point. Like the professors are just kind of there on the sides at that point. They are the quote unquote adults.
Well, it's interesting when you watch like the movies, like the progression of it. Like you have Harry Potter coming in, like you were saying, let's just compare him to an entered apprentice. You know, he was scared of Voldemort. He was running from Voldemort.
Yep.
Then you get to the later movies where they're in that like
the brooding preteen stage. There,
right? They're in that weird subway thing where Harry Potter starts. He actually fights Voldemort. Voldemort's kicking his ass, and then Dumbledore steps in to save him. Right. So you can kind of compare that to like a fellow.
He's got a safety net as a
You know, he's finally starting to get knowledge to fight back, but he's just not strong enough. Yeah. And then you have it at the last movie, obviously, where he's like, "Let's go, let's do this," and they duke it out, and then he ends up beating him.
Spoiler alert!
And it's also interesting that Harry Potter quote unquote dies. And then resurrects.
And then is reborn,
He's reborn, in a sense. What is James Bong saying?
If rich people... hold on. If rich people like you, they intentionally treat you like shite. If they don't, they usually hide it with a smile.
No, okay.
He's referring to something that we were talking about. But
Clearly. So, I mean, if you're going to make, I think in Harry Potter, there's a lot of alchemical, like, you know, transmutation stuff that goes on there.
Oh,
it's kind of
doubt.
Like what alchemy talked about. I think there's a lot of alchemical symbolism in that.
Which is somewhat believable from a Freemasonic standpoint, because obviously you've got that kind of like scholarly golden thread that goes back to alchemy, that goes back to Templary, and kind of like traces those things moving into throughout the mystery schools and then into what eventually became Freemasonry. So it's a little bit, it's believable in that way, I guess, or, you know, one can make an argument there. But what I think is interesting is Freemasonry, like the ancient mystery schools, does have an aspect of secrecy to it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, we're not guarding the Templar gold. It's not those kinds of secrets. The secrets are a little bit more kind of like, you know, our obligations, modes of recognition, things like that.
Right.
But there's no reason why Freemasonry wouldn't be able to teach things like, you know, secret knowledge like magic and those kinds of things, alchemy, and keep it under wraps so that it's only the members of the fraternity that get to know about that.
Right, through our ritual work.
Yeah. So, I'm wondering what kind of magic we would actually teach.
Oh, we have magic on the freaking chat feed right now.
What do we got
here? What do we got?
Fraternal greetings from Canada, eh?
Hey! Take off, you hoser!
That's Safraz Mohammed. Sorry, brother. It's difficult for me to read your name. Old Master 357. I'm only here to see Worshipful Brother Joe. He's my favorite.
Aw!
Wow, you got a fan, Joe. It's you, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. I can barely see the profile picture, but I'm pretty sure that's you.
I spotted it, Ken, while you were talking, so I didn't mean to laugh himself between your intelligent thought.
Yeah,
I looked
up.
I'm
just
like,
speak right over you anyway.
This is freaking... so...
You think we'd be like straight up waving wands around during lodge meetings and stuff during degrees?
I don't know about the wand. I'm trying to make like comparisons to like, you know, I actually see a lot of symbolism in the respect of the Knights of Malta. That degree. You wear the cape, the cloak, right?
Yep.
You know what I mean? You also in the what the hell is it? I can't remember who the two judges were, right? But you had Some guys wearing yellow, some guys wearing purple. You remember? You know what I'm talking about?
Is that Scottish Rite?
I'm trying
right?
to be vague. It's in the Templary.
Oh.
It was
it's been
Order
a while
of Red
since
Cross.
I've seen that one. Okay, the Order of the Red Cross.
Order of the Red Cross. Do you remember where
I haven't seen some of those degrees since I went through it like 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah,
so
I'm trying
yeah,
to be
I mean,
vague or anything. But okay. there's a lot of where there's like two factions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to draw as much comparisons as I possibly could, but so would we be waving wands in Lodge, you had asked?
Yeah, I was just kind of being like tongue-in-cheek about it because yeah. I'm like, how would we actually practice magic? Like, what would the...
Well, just think with...
What would the curriculum look like?
We've got staffs.
We do, yeah.
We have gavels.
Yep.
That could...
the pillars.
You know, the setting malls. You know, those could be like your equivalent of wands.
I mean, if you really want to take this back to like ancient mystery schools of Egypt and everything, it's kind of what they practiced. I mean, there's again, it's all speculation and everything. But I mean, during the time of Jesus, when he was a teenager, he left.
Mm-hmm.
He's being hunted by Herod. And it's believed that he went to Egypt and attended these mystery schools. And then, because he didn't do any quote-unquote magic, if you will, until he came back. And then he started turning water to wine and raising the dead and everything. But in his teen years, there's no...
Yeah, there's a gap.
There's a gap
yeah.
mm-hmm. of where he was gone, and they know he left. They
from
said,
teen
I
years and then,
in the
like,
Bible,
33,
he
right? He came back around the age of 33, so there was a significant
no,
gap.
No, it was before that because he went to the temple when he was a teenager and was questioning the priests and everything.
Yep. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But he did come back, but there was a gap of time where I believe they took him out because Herod was trying to kill his ass.
Right.
And they took him to Egypt. And at this point, you have the Egyptian mystery, schools of mystery and everything that are...
Yeah, cult of the Apis Bull, all
yeah,
that stuff.
Like, yeah, so, I mean, in a sense... If you really, I mean, I get it. People call it, that's a blessing, and it's a, you know, it's a, what do they call Jesus? Miracles. It's a miracle and everything. But in a sense, if we're talking about it in terms of Harry Potter, it's freaking magic.
Yeah.
He's doing magic. Yeah. Not in the sense of, like, David Copperfield or...
Sleight of hand.
Chris Angel Mind Freak or anything.
Doug Hennig.
I don't know who that is.
Look him up.
All right.
It was from the early 80s.
Like Amazing 70s, Andy was better.
Remember him? Amazing. Yes, I do remember the Amazing
like,
End.
Take his hat, pull. He'd be like, I'm gonna pull a bird out of his hat, and he would just flip the bird to the entire audience.
Oh.
But then open his hand, and there'd be a bird.
Oh.
And everybody's like, "Oh, wow!" And then he'd take his hands and clap his hands and kill the bird, and it would just turn into feathers.
That's pretty classic good. Misdirection.
It was, like it was obviously he was a comedic magician.
Yes, comedic magician.
He was good. Ah, I digress. So it's not too far off that, you know, Freemasonry does have an aspect of quote unquote magic to it, if you really think about it. Philosopher's Stone, alchemy and all this stuff. Like these are all like, and this is why I've always said about Freemasonry, it's gotten away from its rituals and what it's about has gotten away from what it originally was. I firmly believe that. I do believe that at some point there was like a search to find some sort of a magical aspect to
hidden knowledge. Yeah.
Hidden knowledge. That's kind of what we talk about in our rituals, hidden knowledge, you know?
Well, I think it's there if you dig, if
it's
if
there,
you
if you dig, but it's,
so if you, for those of you that haven't seen it, I know we've talked about it before, but Timothy Hogan, Brother yep. Timothy Hogan, mm-hmm. who's been on the show, has a YouTube video where he walks you through the penalties of the obligations.
In alchemical terms.
In alchemical yeah, terms, I where like it's an one. Actual, potentially an actual recipe to find the Philosopher's Stone
yeah.
Which is pretty cool. So when you say like it's gotten away from it, that there was a reason why the knowledge was passed on the way it is, and there's a reason why we have to commit certain things to memory.
Mm.
And I think that's it's laid out that way. Do we know the full aspect of it this day? No.
No.
Some of why it's there and the meaning behind it absolutely has been lost.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think it's there if you dig deep enough.
And I don't know if it's necessarily been lost or hidden.
Yeah.
I think... And this is my personal opinion, that they slowly started to get away from that mystery things for a couple of reasons. I do believe that the world events, if you will, say with Catholic Church and religion.
Oh, yeah. If you're teaching that kind of stuff, things. You want to bury it. Yeah.
You want to bury it. Yeah. Yep. So what they did was they manipulated and changed the ritual in a sense that it became less, I don't want to say nefarious, that's a bad word. It became less about
less inflammatory
that and more
to
of like
these other organizations.
Community.
Yeah.
And,
it was homogenized.
But there's still power in that too, right? Like obviously there is, or we wouldn't still be right. doing the Masonic rituals, but each degree has a series of valuable lessons that still right. apply nowadays.
Yeah, they're like life
so there's
lessons.
Still power. Yeah, there's still power there. But
I do believe
there's
like,
definitely something that
yeah, right.
Yeah, that got removed over time.
I don't know if it got removed. I don't think it's removed. Yeah. Well, maybe nowadays because of modern times and you got people who come in and decide, hey, let's change this, let's change that. You know what I mean? But I think at one point it wasn't removed. I believe it was coded.
Yeah.
So I'll give you another
perfect
example.
Yeah, it's encrypted. Yeah.
It's encrypted. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the Bible. Okay. How many times does 40 days, 40 nights pop up? How many times does 33 pop up? How many times does 7 days, 7 nights pop up? Like, there's certain numbers in the Bible that are constantly repeating
correct.
Over and over and over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they talk about how Noah was, what was it? I don't have the Bible right in front of me. But we talk about Noah. He was on the sea he was in the water for 40 days, 40 nights. Mm-hmm. Jesus wandered the desert for 40 days, 40 nights, right?
Yeah, there's something to it.
There's
a reason why those numbers.
Thing. Yes. There's a code in there that we just don't understand because two reasons. A, nobody pays the fucking attention to this shit no more. Nobody actually wants to do the work to dive into this stuff. I mean, sure, there's people out there, but
some
there's
Masons
a handful
do.
Of people.
Some Masons do. Look, there's a whole series of books on that shelf over there to your right that talk about
them,
the hidden mysteries of Freemasonry, the esoteric aspects of the fraternity, some of that golden thread stuff going back to the ancient mystery school. So I'd say there's a handful of people out there.
There's a handful of people, and I also believe that, I'm sure there's a handful of people that have read those books, every single one of them. Maybe, maybe not. But, I mean, we walk by these books every day and never read a single one.
Yeah, I mean, they're there to be borrowed. There are a bunch of brothers in the lodge that kind of gone through.
But also, when you actually have somebody who researches and look into this stuff, you can go one of two ways. You could either read it, get to a point where you've done your research, and you're like, shit, I'm stonewalled. There's nowhere else for me to go. Well, that's it. I guess I've gone as far as I can go. And then there's the other people who take the AJ route. You know who I'm talking about?
AJ.
Alex Jones.
Oh,
and just
go
fucking batshit, and everything is a conspiracy, and they just get lost in the sauce, so to speak,
in
regards to it. It becomes an obsession rather than an actual research.
Yeah, rather than a quest for knowledge.
I know we're kind of, we're poking fun at this alternate universe and Harry Potter and magic and everything, but I do believe that at some point there was an aspect of magic, if you will, or something that was lost over time with Freemasonry. That's
esoteric knowledge.
Esoteric knowledge got lost. Yep. There are people who try to reinvigorate the attention, but most people, I would say the majority of Freemasons don't really go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Alex does.
If anybody's going to find it, Brother Alex DeFranza, who runs our
Jones.
Esoteric club here at this lodge, is going to find it.
Because he's got the
mind.
He's
read
for
all
that.
Them books.
Right.
But most Freemasons are like, what are we doing today? What's the lodge doing today?
We've got like an officers meeting after this that I'm staying for. And then after that, we've got the walk for dyslexia awareness going on. We have a dyslexia learning center for those who may not know, next door to the building, which is a Scottish Rite, looks like Scottish Rite's patent charity. And there's an actual dyslexia learning center next door. They do a fundraiser on a yearly basis, the big one for the year, which is the Walk for Dyslexia Awareness. And we kind of do a walk around the town plot neighborhoods here. A lot of sponsorships and stuff like that. A lot of Masons walk in it. Those of us that have companies that do like charitable matching programs and stuff like that, we try to get them to donate as well, and it's usually a good time. But yes, that's one of the practical aspects of Freemasonry. That doesn't really confer any additional esoteric knowledge, but it's one of the...
And I want to make clear, I'm not shitting on any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. This is all great stuff to do for your community and do for your mankind. Yeah. Also, by no
charity
means
is the
on
greatest
this.
Virtue of Freemasonry. Right. We need to practice it, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not shitting on any of this stuff. I'm just saying, in my personal opinion, it's gotten away from what it originally was. There was a certain mystique and aspect of it.
Communicating hidden knowledge.
Communicating hidden knowledge that we got away from. We got away with. We got away with. Got away from.
Yep.
And now it's become more of like a fraternity of community-based actions and helping your fellow, which is great and everything. But I believe that over time of the ritual chain, we kind of had this discussion, was it last week? Or
yeah, we talked about the fact that the ritual.
We talked about ritual, yeah.
That, you know... I wish we still had copies of the original. I mean, Christ, that one I was reading from Scotland.
That one was cool. That was not, it wasn't the Regius poem, but it was something like written around the same time, same kind of like style of language, and it was kind of cool.
Yeah, I listened to it.
So you know what I'm talking about. We was talking about like, it's buried under the stone in the bone box down under, 3 feet away from the door. Like, these are all, and I don't think that there's an actual freaking front door lodge key buried on the inside of the building with a stone covering over top of it in a bone box because.
No, it's all metaphor.
It's not a physical
thing. I could just picture some poor ass mason out front, like, where the fuck are my keys? Like, God, I gotta dig this
Where's
up again.
Where's my key in the bone box?
Just jackhammering the floor, trying to get the key in the bone box. But it's symbolism. Right.
It's a metaphor.
Something.
Yeah. Yep.
It's not. It's our rituals shouldn't be taken in literal sense.
Yep.
And I also think that a lot of Freemasons, you recite the words. Right, Joe, I don't think this would fall into your category because you have a very, and I'm actually being nice here. You have a very keen mind.
Right, thank you.
You look into symbolism and you look deeper into like you like the middle chamber,
like a Ravenclaw.
But you look. I'm being wholeheartedly sincere about this. You look deeper into the ritual, so when you do the middle chamber, it means something to you. You actually study what these words mean. I don't believe a lot of Masons study what the actual meaning is. Like when they're talking about freaking, they couldn't pronounce this word, so they said this word. But nobody knows where that story came from. Yeah. It's actually in the Bible.
And the more you do that, the more you substitute other ways of saying the ritual from the original.
Right.
You're taking some of the...
Right.
Some of what's necessary, like some of the lessons that you're trying to communicate.
Right.
It means less to you. It means less to the candidate.
Right, because you're just like, I don't know what the hell this means, but I got to say it anyway. Like the whole circumambulation.
It's just rope.
Right.
Down Aaron's beard and up Aaron's ass. And I'm paraphrasing.
Paraphrasing
scripture. There's people that don't know what conflagration and inundation is.
We've got some Harmony Brothers here visiting the podcast.
We've got some gate crashers.
Ah, Brother Gary and Brother Jason, our incoming master for next year, currently our senior warden. Come around this way because there's a wire to the camera there, but the camera's over here if you want to wave to the audience.
Yeah.
It sure does. It's Joe. Looks like or smells like?
A little bit of both. Senior Warden Jason, also known as Sunshine, most affectionately in the lodge, our resident surfer. And then Gary, who's... our historian here at Harmony Lodge, Brother Gary. Yeah,
so,
watch the wires.
So we're having a discussion about Freemasonry and its rituals over the time being changed to become more of like a community-based thing. And it's my belief that Freemasonry, its rituals actually have things encoded in it that were... magical, if you will, or had some sort of
science-based magic for sure.
Yep. Science-based magic.
Secondary meanings behind everything.
See, these guys have read some of these books over here. You know,
so
they know what
just,
they're talking about.
It's not just me being the Alex Jones of the group.
No, we're not.
No, there's that whole esoteric side of Freemasonry that's very prevalent if you look.
Yeah, so that's, I don't know, that's just my opinion. That's why I think... that's what I think is going on. Where are we at, Ken? We're 44. All right, we're good.
Yeah, we're all right.
Is it really hot in here? It is. Oh, I shut the windows because
you guys
are
can come and
out.
Crash on the couch over here if you want. Get on camera. Gary's going to take a back seat here, like squeezing all Squeeze in over here. I think you're in.
I don't know if I can get him on camera because the cameras.
I think he's in frame. Yeah, he's
like behind the scenes.
Yeah, there you are. You can kind of see it. Yeah,
are you ready for my close up, Mr. DeMille?
There you go. Yeah, you're good. You're good. Now your face is right up in the camera. You're all right. Don't pick your nose.
I'd recommend against it.
Keep the swearing to a minimum, but it really doesn't matter.
Who does
because
that?
George is over here.
I swear all the time.
Yeah. We'll all look good compared to him. So,
yeah. Right. Okay. So, you guys heard the podcast before?
Oh, of course.
Oh, you've heard? All right, cool.
So, our alternate.
Oh, you got the pin.
He's got the podcast.
He's got the ever elusive Freemason podcast pin.
See, it exists.
Gold tone. Gold
None of our listeners have it.
I have a
Jason
whole bag
one.
At home. I know I said I was going to send him out. I haven't done it yet. I'm sorry. I'm slacking.
Again.
I'm being lazy about it.
Again.
Okay.
So, what Hogwarts house would you be in, Jason?
Oh, definitely Slytherin.
Slytherin!
Slytherin too. Slytherin! All right.
Yeah, we do these alternate universe things where, like, what if Freemasonry actually was nefarious and was trying to control the world?
Or Freemasonry in the apocalypse.
Freemasonry in the apocalypse. Freemasonry, if technology died. So, the one we're doing today is,
The Grand Lodge of Hogwarts.
Grand Lodge of Hogwarts. We decided to do something a little fun and interesting.
Freemasonry and magic.
So, yeah, we're covering Freemasonry and magic, and that's how we kind of delve down this whole rabbit hole of if Freemasonry actually did magic. Like, what would it be like? You know, so, while we're talking about
practical
that.
Practical magic, yeah.
It's pretty cool, like, in the Harry Potter series, there was always like the duality of like dark and light, right? There was always like the
yeah, of course, good versus evil. Yep.
Joe's definitely a Death Eater, but
whatever.
That was his nickname in college.
George is the little elf that carries around the sock, and you can imagine why. Some chafing involved.
Gary, what house are you?
I've never seen Harry Potter.
You've never read nor seen the. Oh my gosh, we have a heretic in our midst, brethren. Get thee to a nunnery. Oh, you were always told that it was blasphemy? Yeah, you grew up very religious. Okay, I got you. Yeah. You would probably be a Hufflepuff, yeah.
Hufflepuff.
So, the duality of it, like, you have the dark arts, and then you had, like, you had the Slytherin, you had the Gryffindor, the good and the bad and everything. It's kind of like what Freemasonry talks about, right?
No, we do teach the duality of man.
Duality,
right?
Where
just
you're
like pretty
rough
much
rough Ashlar trying to become a smooth Ashlar. Yeah. You get the mosaic floor,
the mosaic
which is
pavement.
Basically right down the middle.
Yep.
Yeah,
shows
go ahead.
The
that's
yin
fine.
And the
yeah.
yang.
Yep, go ahead.
Is he reaching for the musket? Oh, he's opening the window.
He's opening the windows because he's sweating because I closed up all the windows.
No, we generate a lot of heat in here. Obviously, we got the computer going. George is full of hot air.
Blowing hot air.
It's because we're oozing with machismo.
That's where, all right, put it.
That's where the heat's coming from.
Gryffindor.
So, are you guys here for the dyslexia today? Is that what you guys are here for? Officers
meeting too.
Oh, what time is the officers meeting? Are we? I can't see the clock from here.
Yeah, I was talking to who's done it? Is that
Worshipful Brother Russ Griswold.
Russ Griswold. He runs that, right?
Yeah. Along with some other dedicated brothers. Who, by the way, Russ Griswold? If you ever get a chance to meet that guy, he is like the Mason that we all aspire to be. That guy is, he is absolutely salt of the earth, nicest guy you'll ever meet.
He's got a sweet handlebar mustache.
He's got a really sweet handlebar mustache. Yeah. Ask him about his mustache wax. Because he uses the good stuff.
What?
Mustache wax.
Like, that's how he gets the little...
Yeah, that's how you twist up the... You never.
Oh, Jesus.
That's what I was going with.
Everybody's got their blind spots.
Oh.
I was thinking it. He said it. I just... So anyway.
I thought you grew up religious. You got the mouth on this guy.
We all grow up
sweet
religious.
And innocent, indeed.
We grow up that way. We don't end up that way. What'd you say?
I said we all grow up religious, and then we get smart and join Freemasonry. Yeah.
You were an altar boy, weren't you?
Don't start.
What?
Gary definitely was.
I
right?
thought you yeah, were. That, yeah. I thought you were.
I actually was.
See?
I wasn't.
Yeah, I did that whole shebang, too. It's not a sin.
So you're familiar with the half Nelson.
Here we go.
You know, there's the three moves. There's a half Nelson. Yep. There's a full Nelson. And then there's the father Nelson.
Jesus Christ.
My priest growing up was
Gary liked that one.
We're getting way off topic.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are.
We're treading into some Let's unstable here. Territory here.
Read some of those because we're missing.
Oh,
some.
The comments.
Yeah, comments. Let's see.
You did Canada, right? We did. I mean, George would be one of the goblins guarding Gringotts.
Oh yeah, nice. I like that.
Good morning, brothers. Looking forward to diving deeper into my craft here in West Kentucky. That's neat. James Bong. Send us some bourbon.
Yeah, seriously.
Sarfraz Mohammed. If we did have magic. Chili Gate would have never have happened.
That's true.
That's freaking great.
That chili would be cooking itself.
So you guys heard the story about Joe and his chili cook-off?
No.
So George hates chili cook-offs. That's like his thing. Joe got very salty about, well, I'll let you.
Too much salt because he took second place.
All right. So I'll keep it short. I'll give you the Reader's Digest version. Yeah. Back in my mother lodge, Ashlar Aspatuck 142 in Easton. We had a chili cook-off, and there were, I don't remember the exact numbers, but there were four or five different chilies. There were 20 people there, all right, and with 18 votes in, I was ahead by 3 votes, okay? So there's 20 votes, 18 people have voted, I'm ahead by 3.
You win.
I leave the room for 5 minutes, and I come back in the room, and somebody else won. I'm just saying.
How could that be, you might ask?
Because worshipful brother, John Gates, I love you, is a cheater and had some of the kids vote twice, and they voted for him. Mm-hmm. So
the Waterbury
this
way,
is... Exactly. There was no recount. That was my appeal was denied.
Appeal was denied.
And somehow
it does, right?
Somehow
I was waiting for somebody to say it.
Somehow, like 24 people voted that day when there were only 20
after midnight.
And my chili came in second place because of that.
The 2020 election.
That's exactly. And I called shenanigans on it right away. Like, I literally left the building for 5 minutes.
But
like,
I love poking fun at Joe because he's Mr. Zen, and when I get him
fired
up... He gets really pissed off, and I love it.
Well, because they violated their obligation. There's that part of, you know...
That is true. That
cheat
is true,
wrong, man. Nor defraud.
Yeah.
Like, that's part
that's
of,
exactly
like,
what happened.
I was cheated, wronged, and defraud.
So you get so pissed
knowingly
off.
Knowingly and wittingly.
Knowingly and wittingly. Yeah.
So every chance I get...
She I was violating
the cook-off thing. Yeah. I love it.
There were violations and transgressions that day, and I'm not okay with it.
Sounds like there's a couple assassination attempts in order.
No, worshipful brother John Gates is a cool guy. He came on the show.
Yeah, but he's a cheater.
He is a cheater. His chili's pretty good.
Do you remember that episode? You guys went back and forth about that.
He brought some of his chili, too, didn't he?
He did.
Brought some of his chili,
just to mock me.
It was award-winning.
Award-winning. Yeah.
Yeah.
He did, yeah.
It was award-winning.
We did sample each other's chili during a podcast episode.
Chili is...
Joe, he refused to try it.
I won't.
Yeah, he did.
Because it's tainted with the taste of cheating.
Stiff-armed him.
It's a little heavy on the cheating.
Let's see here. What does it say? Brother Gregory, shout out from King David's Lodge.
209 in California. 209. It's not even 7 a.m. here, and I want a chili breakfast burrito.
Oh, I could use one of those, too. California? Oh, yeah, their breakfast burritos are savage out there. I could go for one of those, too.
Oh, yeah, probably very on point.
Yeah, very on point. Now I'm hungry.
Yeah, I got to eat breakfast, too.
I think I'm all done. I don't think we got anything else for the magic thing.
Gryffindor! Yeah.
Joe decided to.
Hufflepuff!
Well, who's to say it's not
we tried.
Magic? Who's to say that the ritual we read isn't magic? You know, who's to say?
What's magic is my chili recipe, you know? Which was
Second place.
Explain. Right. Explain, Jason.
I mean, bring your face closer. Words are made of letters, and they call it spelling.
Mm.
So once you read those words, who's to say something doesn't happen? Something internal, external, whatever it is. Definitely internal. I mean, how do you feel when you speak ritual?
Right.
Is it magical?
It's an emotional
thing.
Is
there another word for it?
I mean,
you know,
words have power.
I mean, if you think about it, words are just sound. And sound, we know, causes a internal change in the human body, right?
Absolutely.
So, like, there's, like, I kind of dive off the deep end when it comes to certain, like, things I listen to.
Oh, yeah.
There's there's one guy who talks about how in order to move those big stones, those megalithic stones back in the day,
right,
they used sound.
Vibration
sound,
and frequency, right?
There's actually science that shows this,
yep,
that they can vibrate an object and make it levitate.
Right. For instance, bees. Bees make a sound to fly.
You know,
who's to say that they're actually using their wings? Supposedly, it could be a sound that makes them fly around because bees aren't supposed to fly.
Right. So, I mean,
Gary's shaking his head over here. I know he's a beekeeper, so I think he's calling bullshit just from practical experience over here.
There's been studies on bees where they fly through this crosswind, right? And the wind doesn't faze them.
Right.
It's like they're flying through this bubble going through this wind. They're not getting blown around.
Mm.
There's got to be a reason for that.
Bees work on a GPS of sorts. They do it's called the bee dance and the bee waggle. They'll go out in the morning, they'll find a source of pollen, they'll come back to the hive.
The
make
bee
sound.
Waggle.
They do a geographical dance to show which direction to go to. And
exactly.
Then all the bees go out and
feed
the pollen at that location just about all day long.
Yeah, I know our listeners probably can't hear us, but Gary's talking about the fact that when bees, you know, get up in the morning, they do a little special dance to show the direction that all the work.
So does Joe.
I was going to say, when I hit the helicopter, right?
The helicopter.
I understand all that. I'm talking about the actual mechanics.
Only guys will understand
of them
that.
Flying.
So maybe they're using ultrasound or something
Apache
like that
nothing.
So that they can fly through a crosswind without being impacted, or they're just aerodynamically super efficient or something.
Now, when they're doing their dance, they're actually making different sounds too. You know? I mean, I've seen it. Have you ever been up close? Hey.
All right, I'm going to let you guys debate the intricacies
on the next
episode
of the Freemason podcast.
It's going to be all about bees. Bees all the way down.
Certain sounds could put you right into a trance.
And that's kind of what I was going off of, what I was saying, like with sound and vibration, it's words. So in chants, orations, if you will, they will put you into a meditative state.
Yeah, and I can honestly say, like,
I mean, not for nothing. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, there's been times where, whether it's doing the middle chamber, whether it's doing the obligation as master, or like with the middle chamber as the senior deacon, there are times where I've completely zoned out.
Yeah, you get that.
Delivering
zone.
That. Like, right. The first time I delivered the obligation it was during a fellow craft degree, I don't really remember it. Mm. It was just like another gear kicked in.
Right.
And it did become very meditative. It did become kind of this outside of your own body and mind, almost like you're connecting with some larger vibration or some larger frequency. And I'm like, oh my God, did I miss anything? Because I don't remember a single part of it.
The word you're looking for is trance.
Trance.
That's exactly trance what I'm looking state, for. Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, there's multiple studies on photo and telekinesis. I mean, the people who are able to, you know, I mean, I don't know if it's 100% true, but the theory behind it is, if you really think about it, what is the human mind? It's just electrical impulses.
Big old electrochemical
right?
computer.
So if you can, in a sense, manipulate the energy, there's energy all around us. Like, we're energy, there's energy in between us and the air and everything, right? If you can trance yourself into using your energy to manipulate the energy here and across the room, I mean, you should be able to, in theory, right?
Yeah.
To make some sort of a telekinesis happen.
Right. I mean, I believe all that stuff comes from...
It's using the force, if you will, in Star Wars term.
Other dimensions, and that's a whole nother conversation, you know. all that power could be coming from other dimensions. It could be your future self looking back on you from another dimension.
Right.
You're starting to sound like Brother Alex now. Oh, I didn't know Jason was as profoundly esoteric as
Alex. I know that Brother John
Gates'
chili
Alex
was out of this world, so.
Oh.
So a couple comments here in the.
Here we go. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
No, there's nothing bad. It's a question. I feel weird not being a Mason and watching this. I'm waiting to ask someone eventually, is it okay or should I run away now? Well, if you're watching this podcast, you should probably run away now.
Yeah, this is.
But no, you should ask. If it's something that interests you, you should ask. And don't be put off if you need to ask more than once, because there are some places that
require
believe there's
that.
Right. So you may need to go knocking multiple times. So I would definitely do that. Oh, and Susan Zanino.
Oh,
is on here, and she's got her comment is
Hufflepuff.
That's her favorite.
Okay.
Would Voldemort be a past master? Only in the state of Massachusetts.
Ooh, low blow.
What I said.
We'll tell you guys about that later.
Yeah, that's an off. That's
Susan
an off camera. Zanino,
she can vouch for my chili. Yeah. It's amazing. And she's not biased in any way just because she's my wife.
Right, right.
I love you, babe. You're the best.
It's great.
You did bring up some of your chili to one of our episodes, and it was good. Didn't you bring a jar?
It was phenomenal. Yes, I did.
Worship Brother Gates did, and then you had one. Yeah. His chili's good.
He had to retort the next episode and brush his own up.
He should actually make his chili for the next Harmony Chili Cook-Off.
I will.
Which I think is coming up this fall.
I will absolutely do it, but I need... Like, we got to sign a contract or something that nobody's going to play any shenanigans.
We're Masons.
About
you
the
shouldn't
vote.
Have to do that.
Tell John Gates that.
Yeah.
Tell
well,
John Gates.
We
I
hold
just,
ourselves to a higher
I just
standard
want a
here
fair,
at Harmony, brother.
I want a fair vote. Not, hey, let's just make sure Joe comes in second place again.
Should we require voter ID?
Have we ever been unfair in our voting practices here? Yes. We have? Okay, never mind.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right.
You let me in as an affiliate, so clearly you're
well,
voting.
Well, no, but I mean about specifically around chili voting.
So we shouldn't use CrowdStrike machines, is what you're saying.
No.
I want the Scantron.
Yeah, Scantron.
Scantron and no
we'll
hanging chads.
Right,
no hanging chads.
We'll do it the right way. Well, number two pencils, the Scantron machine.
Great.
By the way, I just want to say I love my wife. She's
Bong, she James
cheers
Bond.
To that, Joe. Cheers to that.
Mm. Words are sounds and sounds I can't read.
Our
words
colors,
are sounds,
everyone's
sounds
an introvert. Is that like
my morning coffee about that?
All right.
are those like the lyrics to a Deftones song or something?
No idea.
Mm.
Well, he's talking about frequencies, you know.
All the words are sounds.
I mean, rituals of frequency.
Sounds are colors.
What did we read? The Emerald Tablets of Thoth?
Yeah.
Yes.
That one time?
Well, and the Tikkabalion gets into a lot of sound.
A lot of it is
sitting right there on our shelf.
There's like a rhythm to it.
Well, and that's honestly, when we talk about ritual work and stuff like that, part of the way that I think you guys talked about memorization on the last episode. Mm-hmm. And your method, if you give it a rhythm, if you read it like a poem or almost like a song,
makes
that
it easier
rhythm
to remember.
Helps you remember
right.
that ritual a lot more.
Just like song lyrics.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's, you know, you think about how many times you listen to a song. 3-4 times, you might know a good amount of the words.
Without even trying.
Same thing for a brother going through his degrees and hearing the ritual and even us over and over again.
Yep.
It just gets in there like a song, like a poem.
I mean, religion uses the same thing. If you really think about it, when you do your...
not so much for you, Gary.
When you, after you go to confession, they tell you to do 15 Hail Marys. When you
that's just punishment.
Over and over and over and over again. I mean, look at a rosary. Rosary is the same thing. It's repeating over and over and over. Pretty much the same things. And it puts you in a meditative
probably,
stance.
Probably for the
your,
same reasons, too. Probably
right, same
for the
freaking
same
reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you know you're going to be forgiven every time, you can keep doing it. It's fine.
Yeah.
That's why I became an ordained minister. I can do my own. I'm good.
Yeah. He can sin and repent.
Right.
I just pictured that. What was it? Robin Hood Men in Tights? He's like, oh, we'll drink the sacramental wine and we'll get fresh naked. We'll bless everyone.
God bless us, everyone.
I think we're good.
Yeah, it's 1 hour and 4 minutes. I think some of our... brothers are waiting downstairs for
you
the various things that we have
meeting.
To do today. Yeah.
And,
hey, Brother Matt. Brother Matt's
hey,
here,
Brother
too.
Matt
he was on
here.
An episode recently. He snuck in the side door over there. Good to see him as
usually
always.
Usually he sneaks in the back door. What?
Only yours.
What?
Like the votes for John Gates.
That's true. I hope he's listening, too. I haven't spoken to him in a while. But
do we take a shot of liquor before we shut the cameras off, or what?
I mean, you got a shot of liquor?
You got a shot of liquor. We usually do our toasts in the beginning, but I don't think...
Ravenclaw!
Sorry. It's like a casino in here.
All right.
Liquor up front, poker in the rear.
I know the way.
Yeah, he knows. He knows where all the lockers are where we keep our booze because he installed them and sourced them.
Yeah, we haven't done. We record in the mornings now, so we used to like do at the end.
Yeah, whatever. It's like 10
early episodes,
now, right?
Man.
Which were the Thursday night ones?
Thursday night was always rough. Yeah. What's up there, brother?
Hey, brother, how are you?
What's going
Widow's
on?
Son's in the house.
Yeah,
today.
Widow's son's
well
are,
represented.
Everybody's coming in, stopping in at the pod. Oh no, don't leave.
No, he's like, no,
don't
we're
leave,
out.
Baby.
He's like, oh, camera's going. No, we're out.
Baby, come back.
Our widow's son's said, brothers are here for the dyslexia walk, right? Well, yeah, among other things, probably. But yeah, okay. Yep.
Have a great week. You as well.
Yeah, some of those Thursday night episodes. Remember my first episode?
Oh, the after hours ones?
We used to have a separate after hours portion of our podcast because
we hit a place where we
could publicize them. Yeah. They had to go on Patreon only because some of them were, I mean,
the
worst one was still Santa. That one was, Jesus, we did
Santa's
a whole
bountiful
skit
sack.
After that.
Santa's bountiful sack.
Yeah.
Remember when we were going to... Yeah, he's spreading the cement of brotherly love with his bountiful sack.
We got pulled into the HR office for that one. That was fun.
Yeah.
What do we got here? Don't step on my network cable.
Jack Daniels, Tennessee Fire.
Oh, God.
In the Carolinas and Tennessee.
Jack Daniels, Tennessee Fire. And Brother Gary said,
what are we doing, passing the bottle?
Oh,
we're passing the bottle around for our... Our brethren down south that are impacted by the hurricane recently.
Have at it.
So I guess this is appropriate for 10
o'clock
in the morning.
The alcohol will kill any germs or whatever.
Exactly.
Tennessee Fire.
I just need to get it before George.
What the seriously?
I know where your lips have been.
Oh, God.
Vivat.
Oh, vivat.
Wow. Brothers, we hope you're doing well down there after that storm.
As well.
Of course, let us know on Facebook if any of y'all need anything. We're happy to help in any way we can.
I'll just put it here for now.
And if you are in need of any help.
Yeah, give some to the puppet. Great idea.
Yeah. If you are in need of any help, see if your Grand Lodge has an almoners program. Scottish Rite has a very strong almoners program. Mm-hmm. There is help out there if you need it. So don't be afraid to ask. And, we'll be there for you.
Don't be too
FEMA
proud
lets
to
him
ask.
In.
What's that?
As long as FEMA lets him in.
Well, anyway.
They have the backing of the fraternity, so we'll...
For the Freemasons Podcast, I'm Right Worship Brother George Marjorie signing off.
Worship Brother Joe signing off.
And Worship Brother Ken signing off.
And our peanut galleries.
and our brothers over here.
Worship Brother Matt.
Have a good
brother
week,
Matt,
everyone.
Thank you, friends.
Slytherin! Gryffindor!
Hufflepuff!